For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media, on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.
All right, here we go. Back again with another LL Baseball 717 podcast episode. This is episode number 3, and we are now in week number 4. I'm Colin, and we're going to talk again about some alumni people, some games last week that held a lot of importance as section play started later in the week, and then we'll look ahead to some games for the coming week of April 8th as section play really starts to get underway and it starts to get warmer. So first, I'll talk about some alumni people, some, again, guys who are doing really well in college. The first two that I wanted to give a shout to are both actually at Penn State Harrisburg. They also played at Manheim Township, and they're both doing really well for a good Penn State Harrisburg squad. The first guy I wanted to give a shout to is Drew Sassaman. Like I said, he went to Manheim Township. He has 36 hits in 93 at-bats. He has 4 doubles. He is slashing .387, .482, and .430 for an OPS of .912. So he's doing really good. He was really good at Township. I always remember growing up seeing him play. He was really good. And then the other guy who's at Penn State Harrisburg right now is Fisher Druck. In 6 starts, he is 3-1 in his decisions. He has 19 strikeouts on the mound, and he was the pitcher of the week for the week of March 11th. So now looking at it, it's a little bit farther back, but still, he's been doing really good. I'm really happy for him that he's been doing good at Penn State Harrisburg. Speaking of LL alumni at really good colleges, we're back to Millersville again. Cole Hauser, who graduated from Hempfield in 2020, he's coming back from an injury, but since he's came back, he has 21 hits in 44 at-bats for a .477 batting average. He has an OPS of 1.369. He has 2 homers for Millersville. He has a .795 slugging percentage, which is great. He has a 1,000 fielding percentage. I just wanted to put that in there, too. I think he's thrown out 2 or 3 guys because nobody really tries to run on him. But when they do, I think he's 2 for 2 in catching guys. I always remember him being a really good defensive catcher since I went to Hempfield and I saw him a lot. Another guy I wanted to give a quick shout to is Austin Beard. He graduated from Cedar Crest. He is at Northampton Community College this year. He just last week was the NJCAA Pitcher of the Week, and he got that award because of his last outing. He had 11 strikeouts. He had a complete game over number 3 Brookdale in the JUCO League. In his decisions, he is 5-1 overall and with 49 strikeouts. So I'm really happy for him that he's doing really well. He's going to transfer. So we'll see how that plays out, but I'm really happy for all these guys who are doing well for some really good schools. All these schools in their respective divisions are looking to really make an impact when playoffs start, and it should be fun to watch. They'll be doing really good for the rest of the year, no doubt. So then we will review some games that I saw, some other games that held a lot of importance over the last week, and then we'll look ahead to some more games in the coming week. So on Monday, April 1st, the only game that was played, as far as we know, was Manheim Central hosted Manheim Township. And the game was supposed to be at Manheim Township, but since Manheim Central has turf now at their new, well, not new field, but they have new turf at their field, they flipped it over there to play because Township's field was drenched with rain. And so that's where I was at on Monday. Some notes that I wrote down from that game were sophomore Ty Shirk. He went 5 shutout innings and he allowed 5 hits. Manheim Township was leading, I think it was 3-0. Yeah, it was, because that was all they scored, but beside the point. So Manheim Township was leading 3-0. Ty Shirk had a really good start for Township. Trayton Souter and Andrew Fleury both had RBIs for Township. But then Manheim Central really turned it around in the bottom of the sixth, and they scored in the seventh to win it. Manheim Central sent 9 men to the plate in the sixth inning. They scored 3, they tied it up, so it was 3-3, and then they won it in the seventh inning. Nolan Book, he was 2-for-3. He had a run scored. He had a double to left. He scored on that double, you know. But then his brother was kind of the talk of the game, if you will. Chase Book, he had the RBI infield single walk-off. It was sort of a swinging bunt that the pitcher picked up and sort of tried to get him at first, but throw got away from the first baseman. Kai Watson was on second. He ran around from second to score, and that was it. So Manheim Central had a really gutsy win on Monday. They, I didn't think that they were going to win, to be honest, going into the bottom of the sixth, like 3-0. Township is locking this down. But I say that to say it's still really early in the year to learn what pieces you have on the mound, what you can throw, where and when. And I say that to say for all the teams, really, coaches still learning about their new teams. So a tough loss for Township, but they'll rebound from it. They actually did in the rest of the week. They got a gutsy win over Cedar Crest, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But then on Tuesday, or not Tuesday, on Thursday, the 4th, because there was rain on Tuesday and Wednesday and nobody played. So on Thursday, the 4th, the game that I was at was Garden Spot beat Manheim Central to open Section 3 play 16-3. Garden Spot sent 11 men to the plate, and they scored 8 runs in the first inning. They scored 3 runs in the second inning, 2 runs in the third, 2 in the fourth, and 1 in the fifth. That's pretty impressive to, over 5 innings, put up a crooked number in 4 of those 5 innings, and in the fifth, you only scored 1. That's really good. And an 8-run first inning. I just remember sitting there kind of being amazed. Just like, to score any in the first inning is pretty impressive. But, like, you know, they had, I think, 2 or 3 two-out hits to just keep scoring runs. Guys just kept getting on base. And it was from the bottom of their order, too. So it was really cool to see. In the first inning alone, Caleb Zimmerman, Garden Spot's leadoff guy, he was 2-for-3 with a home run and a double, and he finished the game 2-for-3 because I think he was walked twice. Cullen Whitmer, who was their 8th spot, he had a single and a triple. He had 5 RBIs on the day. And then on the mound for the Spartans, Ryder Hertzler, he went 4 of the 5 innings. He allowed 3 runs on 4 hits, and in the difference of the game, 3 runs didn't really matter. And on its own, 3 runs is pretty good. But yeah, Garden Spot looking pretty dominant to open section play over the defending champs. That has to be a really good feeling win for Garden Spot to open their section play this year. They have pretty high hopes to win section 3, so we'll see how the rest of the year plays out, but it's a very season-defining win for Garden Spot in a way. But for Manheim Central in that game, Carter Kyle, he was 1-for-3 with a home run to right. Kai Watson was 1-for-1 with a triple to center. He walked twice and he also scored once. And then Nolan Book, he was 1-for-3 with an RBI in that game. Yeah, and so on Thursday, there was a lightning delay in the games, and so there was lightning delay at the Manheim Central game, and in doing so, there was a lightning delay at the late game, which was Ephrata hosting LS to open both teams' Section 2 play. Okay, so it was kind of nice because after the Manheim Central game ended, I was able to run over to Ephrata to watch the defending league champions for the first time this year. And I also got to see LS, and it's, you know, one of the best rivalries in the LL baseball world, I would say. And so in that game, Ephrata beat LS 11-1 in 5 innings. Cam Sims, he went 5 innings. He went, quote, the distance. He allowed one run on four hits and he had 11 strikeouts. He was dealing. His emotions were really high in that game. You know, after getting a strikeout, he's screaming off the mound. And you know, I'd be doing that too if I pitched. Yeah, but it was cool to see. He's a sophomore. He's great. At the mound too, Cam was also 2 for 3. He had a double and a run scored. Cucalico transfer Ty Custer, he homered to left field. He had 3 RBIs. He also had a stolen base. Ethan Gola had a two-hit day. He had a double to center, and he also scored once. For LS, Cooper Hillen, he was 2 for 3 with an RBI. He was the only Pioneer to have 2 hits. So, pretty big win again for Ephrata to open the year like this, to prove that last year was not just a fluke. And, you know, Section 2 will be tough again this year to win, and let alone make the league playoffs. So this is a big win for the Mounts to open the year and open their section play. And then on Friday, I went to another Section 2 game. I went to E-Town hosting Lebanon. E-Town threw a combined no-hitter. Isaiah Shader had a two-hit day at the plate, and he also hit a homer to left. Luis Perez Alfaro, he reached base all 4 times he was up. He also had 2 hits. Evan Hassinger had 2 hits as well from the 7 spot. He had a run scored. He also had 2 RBIs in the game. And then on the pitching side for E-Town, Justin Borger, he went 4 innings, allowing 1 run on no hits. He walked 8, and he struck out 6. Lebanon couldn't take advantage of those 8 walks. So, yeah, pretty defining win for E-Town over Lebanon. I know that E-Town probably still has a probably bitter taste in their mouth from last year. And so this is a good win to get. It was cold. It was windy, but, you know, they got it done in 5 innings. So it's a good win for them. They definitely want to make leagues, and not only make leagues, but make a real deep run in leagues and districts. So these are some of the wins that you need to have. Just quick and easy, get it done. So yeah, that's what I saw on Friday. And then on Saturday the 6th, I ran over to Cocalico, and they were hosting Solanco in a non-league game. Cocalico won it 3-1. Junior Alex Fox, he went 7 innings. He allowed 1 run off of 5 hits. I thought that he made some pitches when he really needed to. He wasn't overpowering by any means, but he was getting a lot of weak contact and confusing batters in a way. Messiah commit Braden Burkholder, he had 2 hits for the Eagles. He had a double, he had an RBI, he had a run scored. Alex Fox also helped himself out on the mound. He was 1 for 2 with an RBI in the 3rd inning. So a good win for Cocalico to get over a Section 2 team, right? Feels good going into the next week. You know, it's getting warmer. You're getting more confidence in your team. So it's a good win for the Eagles to have, really. So, yeah, that recaps the last week, the week of the 1st, technically week 3. And now we'll look ahead to week 4. Some games, I just wanted to give a shout to some games that I think could be really important at the end of the year, because section play, like I said, is really getting underway, starting to get into the grind of the mid-April days, and that's how league playoffs are formed, and that's some of the best games that I'd argue in the whole league in over the whole year, really. So on Monday the 8th, Hempfield hosts Cedar Crest. Last year, Hempfield swept Cedar Crest, but if Cedar Crest wants to make leagues and get a good spot in districts, these are some of the games that they'll have to win. So we'll see how that game will go. E-Town also hosts LS. E-Town took 2 of 3 from LS, and LS was still the team to make league playoffs. So E-Town has to stay focused here, and they have to stay focused against everybody else. So we'll see how that plays out. In Section 4, Anvil-Cleona hosts Pequot Valley. And last year, Pequot Valley took 2 of 3 from these Section 4 battles. Back to Section 1, Penn Manor also hosts Manheim Township. Penn Manor won one of three last year. They won the last one, and they got really close to making leagues. And I mean, so did Township, because Warwick really took the spot, the second spot. But it was a big win for Penn Manor to have, because it, if I remember right, it looked like Manheim Township was going to make it. But then once they fell in this game, I think the Warwick and Manheim Township flipped and Warwick held on to make it. So that could be a big one at the end of the year too. And then on Tuesday the 9th, Warwick hosts Manheim Township. Last year, Warwick swept Manheim Township, which, like I sort of said, was a big, big few wins for the Warriors. Yeah, they beat him every time, so that was really big to get into league playoffs, and they actually made a run into states. And so, well, actually, both these teams made it to states last year, man. It was cool to see. Warwick honestly didn't think that they had a chance to make states, and then it was like, oh, they're playing in states again. So just to make it was really impressive. But yeah, this is a big one for both sides, really, because they both have deep playoff hopes and dreams, if you will. Some other games on Tuesday are Catholic hosts Lancaster Mennonite in the battle of Lancaster teams, I say. Solanco hosts E-Town in a Section 2 game. Central hosts Octorara in a Section 3 game. And then Cedar Crest hosts Penn Manor in a Section 1 game. So those are some of the games on Tuesday that really catch my eye. And then on Wednesday the 10th, Manheim Township hosts Hempfield. And that's one of my favorite rivalries in the league. You know, I went to Hempfield, so I always just love watching those games, no matter the sport, really. Last year, Hempfield took 2 of 3 from Manheim Township. Manheim Township got a win on their home turf. Hempfield won both of the games at Hempfield. So we'll see how that plays out. Warwick also hosts Penn Manor on Wednesday, and Penn Manor took 2 of 3 from Warwick. I remember I walked into Warwick's field as Penn Manor was winning it. It was sort of an upset at the time, and so it was a big win for the Comets. We'll see what they can do this coming year. Columbia also hosts Lancaster Catholic in another rivalry game in Section 4. Lancaster Catholic went 15-0 in Section 4 and won, obviously, all these games, so they swept Columbia. But Columbia, I'm hearing, has some pitching arms, so it'll be interesting to see how both teams fare against it. And then another game from Wednesday is Cocalico hosts Garden Spot. Garden Spot took 2 of 3 this year, and I think that they'll build on that, really. Can't let their guard down against a scrappy team like Cocalico. So we'll see how the Spartans play against it. But Cocalico, you know, like I just said earlier, they got a Section 2 win against a pretty set team in Section 2. And so they'll be building on it. They'll be looking to beat Garden Spot and make leagues and their district playoffs. And then on Thursday, the 11th, there's only 2 games on the schedule as far as we know. And they are Columbia hosts Pequot Valley. That's a reschedule game. It was supposed to be Wednesday of last week and it got rained out. But, you know, it's here now, so those teams will be focused on winning it. And then in Section 3, Cocalico hosts Octorara in a Section 3 game. I think that game, too, was a reschedule from a week earlier. So that is on Friday. No. That's on Thursday. And then on Friday the 12th, Hempfield hosts Penn Manor. Hempfield took 2 of 3 from Penn Manor last year. And in Penn Manor's one win, they walked it off, I remember. Yeah, it was a big win. It kind of was a tough pill to swallow for Hempfield because, I don't know, it was just a tough loss. I remember I was there because I covered the team. So both teams will really want to win that one too. It's sort of the battle of the border, I always say, between Hempfield and Penn Manor. So we'll see how that plays out. On Friday, too, Northern Lebanon hosts Anvil Cleona. And that could be a big one. Anvil Cleona is pretty hot so far going into the year. They fell to Catholic, but we'll see how they rebound. Northern Lebanon got a big win over Lancaster Mennonite on Saturday, so we'll see how both of those teams fare, how they'll play against each other. In another Section 4-1, Lancaster Catholic hosts Pequot Valley. So those are two playoff teams, or Pequot Valley was right there at the border of making league playoffs, and they didn't. But I think that that game will still be very important and hold a lot of weight at the end of the year. In Section 3, Manheim Central hosts Cocalico, and Manheim Central took 2 of 3 from the Eagles last year en route to winning Section 3, so we'll see how that one plays out. And another Section 3 one that I think will be arguably the biggest game of that Friday is Donegal hosts Garden Spot, and Donegal swept Garden Spot last year, but I think that, again, the Spartans are very well versed this year, and we'll see what they can do against a pretty set team like Donegal. So that game has a lot of marbles in Section 3. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm really excited for that. And another big one, this time in Section 2, is Elizabethtown hosting Ephrata. Last year, Ephrata took 2 of 3 from the Bears. And I remember that it came down to the last time that E-Town played Ephrata, because it was the last game of the Section 2 playoffs for both teams. And so Ephrata won it. I think it was actually 1-0. It was a really good game. I remember I watched all 7 innings for it. And I'm pretty sure if E-Town would have won, they would have. It was something weird. It was like if E-Town would have won the game, they would have won Section 1 and LS would have been kicked out and Ephrata would be in. But if Ephrata won, E-Town was kicked out and LS got the second spot. And that's what happened. And Ephrata and LS came back to play in the league title game, and Ephrata won it. So that game too will be very big on Friday. Hopefully the rain stays away. I know it's supposed to rain later in the week, so we'll see how it goes. It is supposed to rain on it's supposed to rain here and there Wednesday to Friday. So, really hope that that doesn't happen, but we'll see how it goes. A lot of teams have been sort of screwed over in a way by this rain so far. It sucks. We just want the warm weather and to play. Some of these days in April are, I argue, the best days of the high school year. So we'll see how it goes, but that sort of reviews last week, and it looks ahead to some games for the coming week to keep an eye on that'll hold a lot of importance in all four sections, really. And as we get section play really underway, these are some of the best times again. Don't forget to check out my website at lanklebbase.com. And don't forget to check out 717 Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and their website too, 717 Sports. Don't forget to follow me at ColinRich40 on Twitter if you don't already. And that just about does this week. Again, we reviewed some games from last week, and we'll look ahead to some really big games that hold importance this week. Thanks for listening. As always, I really appreciate it, and have a good week.
For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.